Okay, so get ready to journey into the future with me. Like a future where humans and machines, they kind of start to, become one.
Yeah, it's
You
wild.
sent over this research paper on human-computer integration, HINT, they call it. And wow, it's got me thinking.
Yeah, it's not just about like strapping on some clunky robot suit. It goes way deeper than that.
Yeah.
We're talking about tech that's so integrated, so seamless, it basically becomes part of you.
So, like, instead of Iron Man, it's more like,
It's like unlocking abilities you didn't even know you had, like developing a sixth sense or having superhuman strength, but it feels completely natural.
sign me up for that. But this paper, it's not just about how cool this all sounds. It dives into some serious philosophical territory, too.
Right, absolutely. It grapples with some really big questions. Like, what happens to our sense of self when technology becomes so intertwined with our bodies and minds?
Okay, yeah, that's a big one. And this paper, it throws out terms like bodily agency and bodily ownership. What do those even mean?
So imagine you're wearing, say, an exoskeleton, and you're able to lift a car. Incredible strength, right? You decided to lift it. You initiated that action, that feeling of control. That's agency.
Right, so I'm the boss of my actions.
Exactly. But then there's the question of whether it actually feels like you lifted the car or if it feels like the machine did the work for you. That's where ownership comes in.
So, like, high agency, I made the choice. But low ownership, it's almost like the machine gets the credit.
Yeah, kind of. It's a really interesting conflict. And the paper takes it even further by mapping out different integration experiences based on these two concepts, agency and ownership. They break it down into four quadrants.
Okay, hit me with it.
All right. So we've got super body, telebody, chauffeured body, and get ready for this possessed body.
Possessed body. Okay, we're gonna need to unpack that one.
We will. We will.
But the others, like super body, I feel like I get that one. Athletes using tech to push their limits, right? They're still themselves, just, enhanced.
Exactly. High agency, high ownership. Think of it like amplifying existing abilities. You feel stronger, faster, but it's still you.
Makes sense. And what about telebody? Is that more about controlling something external, like a robot?
You got it. High agency, but low ownership. You're making the decisions, but it doesn't quite feel like you're the one experiencing the world through those robot senses.
Okay, so if Superbody is the athlete and Telebody is the like master puppeteer, where does chauffeured body fit in? You mentioned dancers wearing exoskeletons in a performance.
Yes, that's a great example. In that case, the dancers, they were creating this amazing performance, but their movements were dictated by the exoskeletons. So some agency in starting the performance, but once it
A
began,
machine took the wheel.
exactly. Low agency, low ownership, it really blurs the lines of who or what is really in control. And that leads us to the big one, possessed body. This is where things get really wild.
Okay, you've been teasing this possessed body thing, and now I gotta know, like, how does it actually feel to have your body, well, possessed by technology?
All right, imagine this. There's this technology, EMS, which stands for electrical muscle stimulation. Basically, it bypasses your conscious control and sends signals directly to your muscles, making them move.
Hold on. So it's my body, but I'm not the one choosing to move it. That's every horror movie ever, right?
In a way, yeah. High ownership, it is your body,
Eh?
but low agency. This feeling of someone or something else is pulling the strings. It's understandable that some people find it, well, a bit unsettling.
Unsettling is putting it mildly. The paper mentioned people describing it as feeling hacked, which, yeah, I can see that.
Hacked is a pretty accurate way to describe that loss of control.
It really makes you wonder if tech can literally move us without us choosing to move. What does that mean for us, for our sense of self?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it goes to the heart of the challenges and the opportunities that come with integrating technology so deeply into our lives. What this research paper wants us to realize is these aren't just hypothetical questions anymore. They're pressing concerns, like right now. Yeah, and it's not just about feeling hacked, you know? This paper, it goes deeper. It really makes you think about free will, like, do we even have it if tech can control our bodies? And responsibility, if my tech makes me do something, who's to blame? It even makes you question what it means to be human in the first place.
Okay, so big existential questions, but what about the more practical side of this? What kind of tech are we even talking about that could make this level of integration possible?
Right, so the paper, it actually breaks down six different categories of integration. Each one gets us closer to that seamless fusion of humans and machines. It's kind of like climbing a ladder, you know?
Okay, I like that. A ladder of integration. So what's the first rung? Where do we start?
We start with what's already familiar wearables. Think smartwatches, fitness trackers, those VR headsets everyone's talking about. They're already changing how we experience things, even if we don't always realize it.
Yeah, that's true. I've definitely gotten pretty attached to my smartwatch, but that's not exactly turning me into a cyborg, right? So how do wearables fit into this whole integration thing?
Well, think about it. A smartwatch, it tracks your sleep, right? Mm-hmm. Then it uses that data to wake you up at the perfect time. Mm-hmm. It's not controlling your body, but it is influencing you, guiding you toward like a specific outcome.
Okay, so more like data-driven nudges than, you know, full-on mind control. But those nudges, I'm guessing they could get more intense as the tech gets more advanced.
Oh, absolutely. Imagine an exoskeleton.
Right.
But this one's designed for, say, construction workers. It senses when they're lifting something heavy and gives them just the right support to avoid injuries.
Okay, so less superhero, more like super safety.
Yeah, it's like super body, but for everyday life. Uh-huh. And that brings us to the next rung on the ladder, epidermal technology. Instead of wearing it, imagine devices that are basically electronic skin. Thin, flexible, almost invisible.
Invisible tech. Okay, now we're talking sci-fi. But what would you even use that for?
Oh, the possibilities. Endless. Imagine displays that show you information right on your skin. Health sensors that are constantly monitoring your vitals.
Yeah.
Even circuits, like embedded in temporary tattoos that could be used for, I don't know, security or data transfer.
Okay, that's both amazing and a little creepy, if I'm being honest. It's one thing to wear a device, but to have it become part of your skin.
Right. It's a natural reaction. Mm-hmm. And it speaks to those bigger questions we were talking about, those ethical concerns. But before we jump into those, let's keep climbing this ladder,
yeah, okay?
Because it gets even wilder. Next up, we have subdermal devices. As the name suggests, this is tech that's placed under the skin.
So we went from on the skin to in the skin. Okay, I'm not going to lie. I'm both fascinated and a little freaked out by this.
Think about it. Imagine tiny sensors implanted under your skin, tracking your blood sugar, warning you about potential health problems, even releasing medication automatically when you need it.
It's like having a whole medical team inside you, except the whole team is like a microchip. That's wild.
And that's where things get really interesting, because the closer we get to integrating technology with our bodies, the more those ethical considerations come into play.
Yeah, you're right. We're going to have to unpack that. But for now, I'm still stuck on this ladder. What's next?
Okay, so beyond subdermal, we have what are called transdermal devices. These are fascinating because they have both an internal part and an external part, basically creating a two-way communication channel between your body and the outside world.
Two-way communication. So like data flowing in and out of our bodies. Are we about to start downloading kung fu skills like they do in The Matrix?
Uh-huh. I mean, maybe not kung fu, but you're on the right track.
All right.
Imagine devices that let you interact with computers, control prosthetics, all with just your thoughts.
Okay, wow. We went from tracking my steps to controlling machines with my mind. That's a big jump.
That is.
Yeah.
But we're not done yet. The next two categories, they're where science fiction starts to feel very, very real. We're talking about implanted technologies. Now, we already have things like pacemakers, right?
Right.
But imagine those becoming so much more advanced that they can interact directly with our nervous systems.
Okay, so now you're just messing with me. You're talking about tech that interfaces with our brains. That's straight out of a cyberpunk novel.
Maybe. But it's also becoming more and more plausible. These neural implants, they could potentially restore lost senses, treat neurological disorders that are right now considered untreatable. There's even the possibility of using them to enhance our cognitive abilities.
Enhance our brains. Okay, that's both amazing and a little terrifying at the same time. But even if we could do all that, I mean, surely there's a limit to how integrated we can actually become with technology.
Well, the final category on our ladder really pushes that limit. It's called pass-through technology. Basically, imagine ingestible devices, things you swallow that travel through your body. They could collect data, maybe deliver targeted medical treatments, and then, you know, pass through your system naturally.
So from wearables to swallowables, that's quite a journey. It's incredible to think about all the ways technology could become integrated into our lives. But I have to say, with all this talk about the possibilities, we haven't even touched on the potential risks, the ethical implications of all this.
Yeah, it's like we've got this toolbox, right? And it's full of these amazing tools, like from the future. But we're still trying to figure out which tool does what. And then, like, even more importantly, should we be using them in the first place?
It's tough because the tech is changing so fast. It's like trying to hit a moving target, you know? The ethical questions we need to be asking, they're always shifting too. But I think, honestly, a good place to start is that feeling you're talking about, that unease about, like, having technology inside our bodies, messing with our minds, that's not something to ignore. That's a sign that, hey, we need to pay attention here. Right, because it's easy to get caught up in the, whoa, cool gadgets part of all this. But just because we can develop something doesn't mean we should.
Exactly. And that's why those core concepts, agency and ownership, they're so important to keep in mind. The more we integrate tech, the more we have to think about how it impacts our sense of self. Like, are we even making our own choices? What does it even mean to be human if we're part machine?
So it's bigger than just, like, avoiding some dystopian robot takeover scenario, right? It's about making sure these technologies, they make us better, not less human.
Exactly. And that takes a real team effort. We need designers who actually care about ethics. We need policymakers, people making the rules to protect our rights. And we need everyone to be informed and part of this conversation.
It feels like a huge responsibility, not just for the people creating this stuff, but for all of us. It's like, how do we even begin to make sense of all this?
Well, you got to start somewhere,
yeah.
Right? And I think starting small is key. Like you mentioned your smartwatch earlier. How does that impact your day-to-day? Does it make you feel more in control or less? These might seem like small questions, but they get us thinking about how technology, even the stuff we use now, is already shaping us.
Okay, that makes sense. Start small, think big. But what about those big what-if questions? Like, what if this tech gets so advanced that we can't even tell what's human anymore?
Yeah, those are the questions that keep me up at night sometimes. And honestly, there are no easy answers. But I think the most important thing is to approach these questions with, like, a sense of wonder and caution. Be excited about the possibilities, but also aware of the risks.
So it's not about, like, rejecting progress or anything. It's about finding that balance. Making sure these advancements are actually good for humanity, not just cool for the sake of being cool.
You got it. And that's a conversation we all need to be part of, you know?
Yeah.
Shaping the future, making sure it's something we actually want to live in.
This whole deep dive has been, wow, I don't even know if I have the words. It's exciting, it's a little scary, and it definitely makes you think. And honestly, this is just the beginning. We're just scratching the surface of what's possible with this whole human-computer integration thing. Thanks so much for taking the time to break it all down for us. It's been amazing.
The pleasure was all mine. And hey, remember, the future isn't something that just happens to us, right?
Yeah.
We build it together.
Yeah.
One choice, one conversation, one invention at a time.